Chapter 38. Anakin's anguished body was screaming for a stop, a trance, any kind of escape. But that was not possible, not with Nomanor and his company coming up the passage. The Yuuzhan Vong were hanging behind now, just far enough so even the Barabels had lost their sound. But Anakin could still feel the enemy through the lambent, a cold aura of anger and malice pressing the strike team onward, always pushing, always threatening. The Yuuzhan Vong had been back there since the Slave City, harrying the Jedi whenever their pace lagged, assailing them with bug attacks and provoking them into firing their weapons. Though the assaults had escalated, Nomanor had not changed tactics. He was still beleaguering the strike team, still wearing it down, still trying to take a few prizes alive. And Anakin had given the one-eyed spy no reason to try anything else. He had avoided the trap at the AT-AT, only to wander into the ambush in the Slave City like some dust-kicker straight off a moisture farm. Distressed by the plight of the inhabitants, he had allowed Nomanor's impostors to sneak up on the strike team. Now Errol and Jovan were dead. Anakin should have remembered Nomanor's predilection for subterfuge and foreseen the attack. Should have at least kept the crowd away from his Jedi. He should have been more careful. Jaina thumped him behind the ear. Stop that. What? Anakin rubbed his ear. Then his concentration slipped, and pain roared through him in waves of fire. And thanks for caring. You can feel sorry for yourself, Jaina said. A thin line stretched diagonally across her forehead, where Tekle had sealed the gash over her eye with synth flesh. You were reckless, Anakin, and you paid the price. And that's not the point. You need to stop blaming yourself. The distant rustle of Yuuzhan Vong's feet came up the passage. Anakin tried not to let it weaken his concentration and asked, Who should I blame? The war, Jaina said. Do you think Uncle Luke sent us here to train? This is important. If people die, people die. That's a little cold. I'll cry at home. Jaina hazarded a glance over her shoulder, then said, Maybe you made a mistake. Maybe you didn't. But start focusing on the mission, or more people will die. Jaina held his eye for a moment, then the distant rustle of feet grew louder, and they concentrated on running. The strike team passed one of the waist-high tunnels that descended into the warrens of the Feral Voxen. According to Lomi and Welk, the Ferals were creatures the trainers simply lost. Eventually, the beasts found their way to the Slave City, the only consistent source of prey in the training maze, and laired in these caves, with an irregular shape, acid-pocked walls, and an overpowering stench of decay. The tunnel certainly seemed like something the creatures might have excavated. Everyone except the Barabels donned their breath masks. Anakin wore his for perhaps 1,000 steps before he pulled it off and discovered that, while the air was fresher, his breath came no easier. He began to feel feverish and realized that his pain was creeping up on him, eating through his force defenses. Something serious was wrong. Clearing his mind as he ran, Anakin opened himself completely to the Force. Though hardly a talented healer, he knew his own body well enough to follow the ripples of disturbance down into his wound, to feel that something had come loose inside. He reached under his equipment harness and touched a wet bandage. When he withdrew his hand, his palm was crimson. Anakin! This came from Tahiri, who was, as always, running alongside him. What's that? Nothing. Anakin concentrated on the tear inside, tried to use the Force to draw the edges together, and was too weak to concentrate. He stumbled and would have fallen had not Tahiri reached out with the Force and levitated him. Need help, she cried. The strike team slowed. Jaina and several others crowding around even as Anakin protested he was all right. Neg that, Tahiri ordered. You're not all right. Not even close. The sound of the Yuuzhan Vong feet swelled to tramping. Tekle emerged from somewhere under and between Ganner and Raynar, who were sharing the burden of carrying Errol's body. "Keep him levitated," Jaina ordered. She plucked Tekle off the ground and set the Chadrafan astride Anakin's legs, then grabbed his wrist and started up the passage. "Everyone, move!" Anakin tried to insist that he needed no help, but managed only a gurgle. One of the Barabels dropped a flechette mine to delay the Yuuzhan Vong, and the strike team broke into a hard run. Tekle began to undo bandages, her weight barely noticeable on his force-supported legs. The Chadrafan tossed the blood-soaked Bacta gauze aside and placed her hand over the wound. The force flowed into Anakin, yet his strength continued to fade.
"We must stop," Tekle said.
"No." Anakin's voice was barely a whisper.
"Can't let."
Tekle ignored him.
"He has internal bleeding. I need to see what's happening."
"How much time?" Jaina asked.
"That depends on what I find," Tekle said. 15 minutes, maybe twice that."
The tramping of Yuuzhan Vong's feet grew steadier, and the force stirred with the familiar hunger of Voxen on the hunt. These were not the free-roaming beasts that had been harassing the Jedi so far, but well-trained creatures kept on leashes by experienced handlers. The strike team had killed 3 already. If the pack was typical, there would be only 1 more. Everyone hoped it was a typical pack. Alima stared back down the passage toward the approaching threat, then turned to Jaina.
"I can buy us 15 minutes."
Her voice sounded strangely distant.
"I need 6 concussion grenades."
Dimly, Anakin heard Ganner say, "Do it," and saw him flip something to the Twi'lek. She danced over to the Barabels, then all 4 sprinted up the passage ahead of the strike team. Anakin slipped closer to delirium and began to lose his sense of the others in the force. He could always feel Tahiri at his side, telling him he was going to be fine. He believed her, but could not muster the strength to say so and squeezed her hand instead. Time passed. It couldn't have been much, and the hum of a lightsaber filled the passage. They passed close to Tisar, and Anakin glimpsed Alima, sitting on his shoulders, pushing her silver blade into the ceiling. Behind her, Bella was on her sister's shoulders, using Jovan Drark's long blaster to tamp a wad of cloth into a similar hole. Alima took a grenade from Tisar and reached up to push it into the hole she had made. Then Tahiri pulled Anakin around a corner, and he lost sight of what was happening. He heard, clearly, one of the Barabels rasp, 6 seconds, and knew Tekle was stabilizing him, perhaps even bringing him back. Anakin lifted his head and saw Alima and the Barabels come racing around the corner behind the rest of the team, then heard an all-too-familiar drone coming up the passage. A pair of Thudbugs splatted into Alima's back. They failed to penetrate her jumpsuit, but sent her sprawling. Tisar caught her on the run, pulling her into his grasp and continuing up the passage without breaking stride. An instant later, a shockwave jolted Anakin, and his earplugs sealed themselves against the roar of falling Yorick coral. Dust billowed off the passage walls, and as the cloud overtook the team, Tekle pushed Anakin's breath mask over his face. The Jedi continued another 30 paces and stopped. Tekle had Anakin lowered to the floor and gave Jaina a tube of stink salts to rouse Alima, then pushed her small hands into Anakin's wound and up under his ribcage. He tried not to scream, and failed. She continued to work, issuing half-whispered instructions to Tahiri. Anakin looked down once and found Tekle's small arms immersed to the elbow. Darkness closed around the edges of his vision, and he did not look again. The sound of blaster fire began to drift up the passage from the cave-in. Anakin tried to raise his head, only to have his brother push it back down. "Don't worry," Jason said. "Everyone's well covered."
"Malima."
"Hurt?" Anakin gasped.
"Angry."
Jason waved in the direction of the battle line. "Already blasting Yuuzhan Vong. And enjoying it."
"Good reason," Anakin retorted.
"After easy." Jason raised his hands in surrender. "I'm not being judgmental." Anakin winced as a sharp needle pierced something inside. Then he forced up a doubtful brow. "Really, I'm not," Jason said. The intensity of the blaster fire at the cave-in increased. Then L'Baka roared the announcement of a Voxen kill. Jason glanced toward the joyful sound uneasily, then said, "Am I worried about what's happening to us?" "Sure. This war is bringing out all that's selfish and wicked in the New Republic, corrupting the galaxy star by star. I see it pulling one Jedi after another to the dark side, making us fight to win instead of protect. But I can't push others down my path. Everyone needs to choose for themselves. Centerpoint taught me that much." "Fooled me." "Fooled myself," Jason said. "I thought I was the only one who knows the difference between right and wrong. I realized that wasn't true. Actually, Tennel Ka pointed it out, after what I said on the exquisite death. I've been trying to apologize to you since."
"Really?"
Anakin grimaced as one of Tekley's tiny hands brushed an organ that did not like being brushed.
"Didn't know."
Jason flashed a lopsided solo grin. "I figured." The zipping sound of blasters gave way to the snap hiss of lightsabers, and Anakin raised his head. Atop the rubble pile, a solid line of colored blades was dancing against the darkness beyond.
"Got to go."
He pushed himself to his elbows.
"Not getting anyone else killed, except yourself if you don't let me finish," Tekley snapped.
She nodded to Tahiri, who promptly pushed Anakin back down.
"We can leave in a few seconds."
Anakin dared to look and found the Chadrafan coating the interior of his wound with salve. He was alarmed to discover he no longer felt her working.
"You numbed me," he asked.
"To help with the pain."
Tekley took a pad of Bactigauze from Tahiri and packed it into the wound.
"But I can only do so much. You need a healing trance."
Anakin nodded.
"When we're done."
Tekley looked up, her flattish nose twitching.
"Sooner. Much sooner."
"Sooner?" Tahiri echoed. She glanced back toward the fight on the rubble pile.
"But healing trances take hours, even days."
Tekley ignored her and continued to speak to Anakin.
"Your spleen was punctured."
She looked back to her work, joining the edges of the wound with thread instead of synth flesh, in case she needed to reopen it.
"I closed the hole, but it will continue to seep until you enter a trance and heal it yourself." "How's he going to do that?" Tahiri demanded. "We can't stop, not with the Yuuzhan Vong so close."
There was an uneasy silence as the situation grew clear. Jason tightened his lips to keep them from trembling and reached out to Anakin through the Force, trying to reassure him. Tahiri grabbed Tekley by the arm and pulled her to her feet.
"Do something. Use the Force."
The Chadrafan laid a comforting hand over the one holding her arm.
"I have."
"We must start with what's possible," Jason said, pulling Tahiri away. "Maybe we'll find a way to buy enough time."
"Not by staying here," Anakin said.
He felt more guilty than frightened. It was his wound placing the mission, and his companions' lives, at risk. He rolled to his elbows and sat upright, grimacing when Tekley's back to numb proved weaker than he had expected. He activated his comlink, then said,
"Prepare to break off. Buy some space."
Parrying with her one arm, Tennel Ka used the Force to pluck a fragmentation grenade from her harness and activate the thumb switch, then sent it hurling past her opponent. 2 seconds later, it exploded with a brilliant flash, and the battle din quieted to a rumble.
"L'Baka, Alima, Ganner, Lomi, Raynar, you first," Anakin commanded.
The 5 Jedi leapt backward off the rubble pile, flipping through the air and landing safely out of the reach of their foes. Anakin assigned Alima, Lomi, and Ganner to cover the others, then motioned L'Baka and Raynar up the passage to gather their dead, Errol and Jovan.
"Where?"
Raynar demanded. "Errol's body isn't here. Neither is Jovan's."
"What?"
Anakin glanced back to find Raynar and Lobaka standing over a pair of bloodstains.
"They're gone?"
Lobaka rumbled indeed they were, then squatted to inspect some marks on the floor. He rumbled something more.
"Master Lobaka wishes to inquire whether the feral vaxen might have taken them."
To this fairly accurate translation, MTD added his own opinion. "I must say it hardly seems possible. Not from beneath our very noses." Anakin turned to Jason, who had already closed his eyes and reached out to the ferals through the Force.
"There are five, moving up the passage ahead of us. They seem, excited."
"Excited?" Olima asked, turning her attention forward. "How?" The cacophony atop the rubble pile grew suddenly louder, and Anakin looked up to see Yuuzhan Vong's silhouettes clambering into the gaps between his friends.
"Later, Olima," Anakin said. "Keep covering."
He activated his comlink. "Break off, everyone." As the rest of the Jedi battle line stepped off the rubble pile, Anakin grabbed his brother's arm and pulled himself to his feet, and instantly collapsed. It was as if a lance had pierced his heart, and he screamed so loud, his voice echoed back to him a dozenfold. Then Jason and Tahiri had him under the arms, dragging him half a dozen steps down the passage before they levitated him into the air. Bugs swarmed down from the top of the rubble pile, drawing angry curses as they splattered against the strike team's armored jumpsuits. Someone thumbed a remote, triggering the mines planted on opposite sides atop the rubble pile, and the bug storm fell silent. Anakin glanced back to see the area clouded in blast shrapnel, the fragments burying themselves 2 millimeters deep in bare flesh, Vondoon crab armor, or even Yorick coral before detonating again. The Yuuzhan Vong literally vanished in a fog of detonite fume and blood spray. The anguish in Anakin's chest subsided and was quickly replaced by a different kind, coming to him through the battle meld, a heavier, sadder pain that could be described only as sorrow. He swung his feet around, breaking Tahiri's force grip, and began to run alongside the others. A large Barabel body was floating between her hatchmates, being pulled along by her arms. The amphistaff that had felled her still wagged between her shoulder blades.
"Bella."
Anakin half-turned toward Jason. "Is she—" There was no need to finish the question. He could feel that she was dead, knew that the amphistaff buried in her back was the source of the pain that had driven him down earlier. He had let another Jedi die. Worse, had not even noticed until she was gone. Yet again, he had failed his strike team. Nomanor's muted voice shouted an order somewhere on the other side of the rubble heap, and a muffled clatter rolled up the passage as warriors began to clamber over the bodies of their fallen comrades. Jason took Anakin's arm. "Let Tahiri lift." "No." Anakin jerked free. "Not again. It was my wound. I forced us to stop." Lobaka triggered a second set of mines, and again the rubble pile quieted. By now the strike team was around the corner, out of sight of their pursuers and opening a substantial lead. Anakin drew heavily on the force and made himself keep pace. He was weakening, and he knew by his friend's anxious glances how obvious it was. But he would not let Tahiri tire herself for him. Not anyone. No more Jedi were going to die because of him. Not even dark Jedi. It was not even a minute before Anakin felt the Yuuzhan Vong gaining ground again. There was no ambush, no trap that would delay them. Nomanor just kept coming, forcing the Jedi onward, soaking up munitions with his warriors' bodies and drawing down power packs with their lives. And the Jedi could do nothing to slow him, could only keep running. A sour stench began to fill the passage. Everyone but Tisar and Kossoff donned their breath masks. They rounded the corner and saw Errol's red hair disappearing into a low jagged tunnel on the right. Raynar raced forward and dropped to his knees, screaming for the Voxen to release her, reaching inside its acid-melted lair. Anakin stretched out with the force and plucked him back into the main passage.
"Hey!"
Raynar yelled, flailing. A low burping sound erupted from the lair, and a spray of sticky acid shot out into the passage. Reynar stopped struggling. Thanks. He glanced over. Anakin, you can put me down. I'm not going in there.
Are you certain?
Alima went over to the tunnel and, cautiously, stooped in front of it, peering inside.
This is exactly where we need to go.
You've gone space-happy, Welk said.
Twi'leks do not go space-happy,
Alima replied mildly. The distant sound of Yuuzhan Vong's feet began to rustle up the passage. Alima held her palm over the tunnel entrance, then pulled it away and looked up the main passage.
Has anyone else noticed that we have been circling around something?
Anakin shook his head with the others.
We'll have to trust your instincts on that, he said.
As a Twi'lek, Alima's sense of direction was undoubtedly more accurate than that of anyone else. Her species inhabited a vast warren of underground cities on the inhospitable planet Ryloth.
What are you thinking?
This hole is breathing.
Eyes twinkling, she took Anakin's hand and held it in the steady breeze that carried the foul stench from the Voxen tunnel.
It goes somewhere big, and it bisects whatever we're circling around. It could be a shortcut.
Not one we can use, Jason said. The Voxen are protecting something down there. I'm trying to make them think they need to stay with it. The sound of tramping began to roll up the passage. They all glanced back toward their unseen pursuers. Ganner said, "Then you make the Voxen leave instead." He turned to Anakin. "We've got to do something." Even before Anakin turned to ask if what Ganner suggested was possible, Jason gave an almost imperceptible shake of his head. Anakin looked to Lomi. "What's down there?" The dark Jedi shrugged.
"Voxen, I'm sure. But the Snakehead may be right. It could be a shortcut. There are more tunnels like this one near the gate."
"Gate?" Anakin was already imagining the difficulty of fighting through a company of gate guards with no Manor rushing them from behind. "A guarded gate?" Lomi nodded.
"You can be certain."
Anakin began to feel sick. There was no way, no escape. The tramping grew louder. "Anakin?" Ganner asked.
"There's no choice," Jaina said, inserting herself between the two. "We need time for your healing trance."
"We are unlikely to buy much time in a cavern full of Voxen," Tenelka observed. "Quite the opposite, I am sure."
Anakin glanced guiltily in Bella's direction. He knew what he wanted to do, but he had been wrong so many times on this mission, and every time someone fell. Now he had to choose again. No matter what he decided, more Jedi would die. Maybe they all would.
"Young Solo?" Lomi inquired. "We are waiting."
Anakin turned to Jason. "What do—" "Thanks for asking," Jason interrupted, not quite hiding his surprise. He took a thermal detonator from his equipment harness and dropped to his hands and knees in front of the foul-smelling tunnel. "But you know what we need to do. I think we all do."